Now we're going to have a message. We're doing something special tonight. So here's Pastor Storm.
All right. We're going to have a message in the dark. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. We're going to be looking at one verse. We're going to be looking at a lot of verses tonight, but we're going to look at one to start with, and then we'll be going from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all that you've done for us. I just thank you for loving us so much. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct everything that we do and say, that be for your honor and your glory. We love you. Thank you for what you've done for us. I pray now that we'll get something out of this message that we can use for our own selves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to take a look tonight at the Lord's Supper. And I think, as I was thinking about this today, I thought to myself, you know, the last time we had the Lord's Supper was in March, the first week in March. So you're looking at March, April, May, June, July, August, September, well, 6 months ago before since we've had the Lord's Supper. But there's been a lot happened since then. We had the pandemic, we had the fire, we had a lot of things going on. And I really believe that there's a lot of people that have a misconception of what the Lord's Supper is and what it represents. And I want to look at this a little bit tonight before we do have the Lord's Supper. But God gave two ordinances to the local New Testament church, one of which is baptism. And as a person stands in the water, it represents Christ dying on the cross. As you go underneath the water, it represents his burial, and as you come out, it's his resurrection. Well, that's the one ordinance of the local New Testament church. The other ordinance of the New Testament church was baptism. Now, baptism was to show Christ's giving of his body and his blood for remission of our sins. And I want to look tonight at what the Bible says and look at a little bit of what the Lord says about the Lord's Supper. Now, you know, different churches believe different things. And, you know, there are churches that believe in what's known as a closed Lord's Supper. What that means is that if you are not a member of that church, you cannot partake in the Lord's Supper. Brother Hughes is that way. And he'll only have it about twice a year on a certain night. And the only ones that can even come in are if you are on the membership roll. And so that's a closed Lord's Supper. Then you have what's known as a close Lord's Supper, and that's what we do. I believe that if a person is saved, been baptized by immersion, and can be a member of another Baptist church, it's fine. But you should not be held back from the Lord's Supper. You know, we have a lot of snowbirds that come down here in the wintertime, and when we have Lord's Supper, they should be able to partake just as much as the rest of us because they're saved, baptized, and everything else. Then you have what's known as an open Lord's Supper, and what that means is that anybody can partake. You don't even have to be saved, and you can partake in the Lord's Supper. And I want to show you some things about that tonight. You know, I believe that there's a misconception many times about the Lord's Supper. You know, I want to go from the beginning and look at where it all started, and then we're going to go from there. And I think you're going to see where or why I believe the way I do. And, you know, you need to take and know what you believe, and you need to what? Back it up by the Word of God. And if you do that, you're going to be in good shape. But, you know, what exactly or when did it exactly start? Well, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" in Mark chapter 14 and verse 22, it says this. It says, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. In Luke chapter 22, verse 17, it says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take, eat, this, and divide it among yourselves. You know, as we see, the Lord's Supper started the night that Jesus was betrayed. It started after the preliminary Passover feast. And what I mean by the preliminary Passover feast is it happened the night before the Passover feast would have been eaten. So this was the preliminary feast of the Passover, or the one the night before. And what we see here is that, you know, they had just eaten a meal, and before the Passover was to start the next day. Now, the first Lord's Supper was held at night, and we need to understand that. The Lord's Supper, first Lord's Supper, was instituted at night. They didn't do it during the day. They did it at night. He did it before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples were together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and he continued his speech until midnight. Now, if you think that I'm long-winded, how would you like to take and sit in with Paul? He started preaching after supper about 6 o'clock, and he preached till midnight. That's 6 hours. And people sat there and listened to him preach for 6 solid hours. And I don't think they took bathroom breaks. I think he just kept on preaching and preaching and preaching. But they wanted to listen to everything that he said, and they wanted to take everything in. But the thing I want you to notice there is that they were having the Lord's Supper as they were breaking of bread, it says. That means that they were having the Lord's Supper. They were gathered together in the evening service. It was at night when they were having the Lord's Supper. You know, notice that they were gathered together on the first day of the week. They weren't gathered on Saturday or on the Sabbath day. They were gathered on the first day of the week. You know, there's a lot of people that have a problem with having church on Sunday rather than Saturday. But if you take it and look at the New Testament church after it started up, all their services were on the first day of the week, not the seventh day. They were on Sunday rather than on Saturday. And I really believe that that's what God wanted. I believe that that's what the Lord wanted. You know, but how was it to be administered? You know, the first Lord's Supper, as we recall, Jesus administered it himself. You know, think about that for just a minute. You've got 12 people sitting around a table, and they get all done eating. They're full. They're tired because they've had a long day, and they haven't even got to the Garden of Gethsemane yet, and they haven't been up all night with Jesus on trial and everything else. And so they just got done. Jesus stands up. He takes bread, and he breaks it, and he says, this is my body, take, eat. And so they pass it around, and that's what they did. And then he took the cup, and he says, now divide this amongst yourselves. And each one divided it amongst themselves, and they drank of it. Now, after Jesus had ascended into heaven, they were to continue breaking bread or having the Lord's Supper. Now, this is not just a one-night occurrence. It's something that they did over and over and over and over again. And we need to understand that. We need to realize that this was not something that Jesus did the night that he was betrayed. But in Acts chapter 2 and verses 41 and 42, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Here we see that they were having the Lord's Supper. They were breaking of bread. And that's exactly what the Lord's Supper is all about. You know, it does not say who administered the Lord's Supper at this time period. However, they continued steadfastly, and they did it. You know, in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, it says, "And upon the first day of the week," what day is that? Sunday. "Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples were come together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart the next day, and continued to speak until midnight." Now, we see that all of the disciples were there, and they were administering the breaking of the bread. You know, we need to understand that it's not just a common thing that can be done by anybody. It has to be done in a certain manner. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers." In Acts 2:46, it says, "And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Now, here there's a lot of people that feel that they did the Lord's Supper every day, but we have no idea how often they did it. We do know that they did it often. And where did they do it? They didn't do it in the temple. They did it in houses. They didn't have a church. They had no church building back then. They had to have church houses. And so they were doing it in people's houses. Now, you see the body, or many people who were breaking the bread and having the Lord's Supper. I believe that the Bible clearly states this. I believe that the Bible states that there should be more than two people partaking in the Lord's Supper. I don't believe that the Lord's Supper should be taken commonplace. I believe that there should be more on that, and it should be the assembly. This is why we do that in church. You know, many other religions, they'll do it wherever. But I believe that we need to be assembled together to observe the Lord's Supper. You know, I believe that it should be administered by the pastor, the head of the church. You know, I believe that the elements can be distributed by the men of the church. However, I do believe that it needs to be administered by the pastor. You know, the disciples gathered together to break bread. You know, think about that for a minute. The disciples, who were the disciples? The followers of Christ. They were the ones that God or Jesus had made, you know, follow him. You know, there's 12 of them. And they were the ones that started with the Lord's Supper. Then as the church branched out, they ordained ministers, and the ministers observed and did the Lord's Supper. You know, but who should partake in the Lord's Supper? Who are the ones that should be eligible or should be observed in the Lord's Supper? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 to 22, it says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifices to idols is anything? But I say that the things with the Gentile sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he?" You know, I believe there are certain people who can and certain people who cannot partake in the Lord's Supper. And, those who sacrifice or worship to other gods, they should not partake in the Lord's Supper. Those who are of the devil should not partake in the Lord's Supper. Those who are not saved should not partake in the Lord's Supper. Those who are not spiritually baptized should not partake in, or scripturally baptized, should not partake in the Lord's Supper. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" You know, the light it's talking about is who? Usans. The ones who are saved. The darkness is talking about those who aren't saved. Well, why is it then that a person who is not saved should not partake of the Lord's Supper? What's that? Okay. And they have not any idea what this represents. They don't understand that the bread represents Christ's body that he sacrificed for us, that was bruised, that was beaten, that was torn apart for us. And they don't understand the blood that was shed and taken up to heaven and placed on the altar for our sins. Well, we need to realize that if a person's not saved, they have no right to take and partake in the Lord's Supper. They have no reason to partake in it because they don't know what it represents. It's the same way with a person who's not saved. They shouldn't be baptized. Why? Because they don't understand that it represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And they can't put themselves into that. And what we need to realize is that a person who's not saved should not partake of the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27, 28, it says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup." You know, if you take and you look at the two elements that are on there, you have the bread and you have the blood. And we know that the bread represents Christ's body and the cup represents his blood. But they should not come unworthily to the Lord's table. You know, we shouldn't come to the Lord's table with the wrong attitude or with the wrong intentions or with the wrong idea of what it's all about. You know, there's an awful lot of churches or religions that teach that if you partake of the Lord's Supper, it's a sacrament. And what a sacrament is taking away sins, or it's God's grace. And it's not that whatsoever. I can eat all the bread that's there, and I can drink every one of them cups that are there. And you know what? It doesn't get me any farther to heaven than anything else does. You know, what we need to realize is this. It's not by partaking of the Lord's Supper that a person gets saved. It's only by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But we need to take and self-examine ourselves. A self-examination needs to be done to see if there's any unconfessed sin that we're holding with inside us that we need to take and confess before we come to the Lord's table. See if we have any hate towards a brother or a sister that we've not taken care of and confessed to the Lord. You know, our hearts and minds are to be pure when we come to the Lord's table. You know, notice that it says there that a man examine what? Himself. That doesn't mean that I'm to examine you. That doesn't mean a priest is to examine you. That doesn't mean a rabbi is to examine you. That means that you are to examine yourself and see if there's anything between you and God that would hold you back from coming to the Lord's table. Now, see, we need to take and also realize that we need to confess everything before the Lord before we come to the table. Brother Hughes put it this way, and I used to think it was kind of good. He said, if the Lord's Supper should be a time where if you have anything against someone else, you need to get it right with God. And that's exactly right. If there's anything in your life that's between you and the Savior, you need to get it right before you come to the table. After all, this represents Jesus' blood and Jesus' body. But we realize, you know, how it all started and how it should be administered, who can partake in it. But what should our spiritual state be? What should our spiritual state be? You know, I believe the Bible points out quite plainly a person needs to, number one, be saved. You need to be saved in order to take and partake of the Lord's Supper. You need to know if you were to die right now that you'd be absent from this body and present with the Lord. You need to remember a time and place where you asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. You know, I believe a person needs to be baptized also. I believe that a person needs to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You know, why would a person not want to get baptized other than being afraid of water? But what we need to realize is this, is that if you're going to follow the Lord in his footsteps, you're going to have to take and get baptized because that's what he did. And we need to take and we need to get baptized. Is he going to keep us out of heaven? Nope. But, you know, we need to take and follow the Lord as close as we can. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 34, 30 to 34, it says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and they were baptized, he and all his straightway. And when they had brought them into the house, they set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You know, listen, it wasn't the baptism that saved them. It was listening to the word of God and getting saved by the word of God. That's what saved them. Now, did you notice there was no Lord's Supper offered there? Because they weren't in an assembly. They weren't together. And, you know, when Philip was with the eunuch, and he's running along with the eunuch, and the eunuch is reading from Isaiah, and Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I understand except somebody interpret it for me? Philip got up into the chariot, and he interpreted the scripture that he was reading. And the eunuch says, well, what bids me from getting baptized? He says, there's water. What bids me from getting baptized? And Philip said, what? You have to believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ. He says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they stopped the chariot. He got saved. They went down, and he was baptized. You know, but you notice there was no Lord's Supper given there, was there? You know, that's why the Lord's Supper is done in an assembly. You know, I believe, you know, a person needs to self-examine himself to see if there's anything between you and the Savior. And we need to confess it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But how often, then, should we have the Lord's Supper? How often should people have the Lord's Supper? You know, there's an awful lot of religions that have it every day. And I believe that it comes commonplace then. It doesn't mean anything. You know, that's why I like to have it maybe once a month. and sometimes once every 2 months or as often as we can. And the reason I do that is because of this. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, it says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." What we need to realize is we need to do it often enough that we can remember what he did for us, how he shed his blood, how his body was broken for our sins. And we need to do it often enough so that we remember, you know, what this is all about. You know, the elements of the Lord's Supper have absolutely no saving grace whatsoever. You know, we can partake seven times a day, 365 days a year, and we aren't going to get any closer to heaven than a gnat. But what we need to realize is this, is that once we're saved, it does represent something to us. It shows us exactly what the Lord did on the cross for our sins. It's only through the blood. You know, we sang that song, "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." We couldn't have got a better one tonight than that. And nobody knew I was even going to do this tonight. And but you know what? What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And you know, we need to take and realize that there's no way any of us can get to heaven but by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just hope and pray that everyone here is saved tonight. And we're going to take and go to the Lord's Supper here in just a minute. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you most of all for dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come to your table. And we can take and partake in the cup, and we can partake in the bread that you shed and you gave as a ransom for our sins. Even though we don't deserve it, you still gave it to us that we can have eternal life. Father, we just thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct us. Be with us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I have the men come up and we'll get going on this. All right.